New Friends. Ricca woke with a lurch, flinging off the furs like they were throttling her, thoughts chasing each other around her sweaty head. Took her a moment to remember where she was, who she was. She still wasn't used to sleeping in her father's bed, but it was likely the best bed in the north, huge, even though he'd been small. Always said he wanted to keep rolling and never fall out. He'd had the frame carved by the best shipbuilder in Ulfrith, monsters prowling over the wood, and bought the goose feather mattress for its weight in silver off some Styrian merchant. Other than Ricca, it was probably the thing he was proudest of in the world. Broke his heart to leave it when Black Calder took the city, filled him with joy to find it in one piece when he came back. Always said he'd spent half his life sleeping on the dirt, so he'd sleep the other half in comfort's pillowy embrace and make no apologies. She still wasn't used to sleeping in her father's bed, but it made her feel close to him, even though he was gone. And when you left the best bed in the north, what should you do? Sleep on the floor? She swung her feet down and wriggled her bare toes into the cold boards, nodding to herself as all the pieces dropped into place in her mind. Might be she'd had a vision, might be she'd had a dream, might be she'd just had an idea, but whether you put it down to magic, luck, or wits, she saw now what had to be done. Someone had to pick the course, after all. Wouldn't be pleasant, wouldn't be easy. "But easy is for the dead," she whispered and stood. That morning had a feel of summer, chilly but bright, curved streaks of cloud high up against the blue like dragon's ribs. Ricca shifted her chaga pellet from one side of her mouth to the other and drew that bright red cloth about her shoulders. It was quite a thing for some woven thread, so beautiful it made her feel beautiful, which was a rare feat these days. And who should be sitting on the bench in her father's unkempt garden, watching the sunrise sparkle on the sea, but the one who gave it to her? "Savine Dan Brock herself," said Ricca. "You're up early." She seemed a different woman without all the powder and paint and costume, younger and softer, more ordinary and more honest, like a warrior without his mail, maybe. "No choice," she said, laying her hands on her belly. "He, she, or it seems intent on kicking me this morning." Ricca sat beside her, watched the fishing boats rock on the waves while she gathered the courage to ask. "Can I feel?" Savine considered her, eyes narrowed against the low sun, then she took Ricca's hand and guided it to her stomach. Ricca frowned, waited, frowned. A little knobbly pressure shifted under Savine's gown, then was gone. Just that, but Ricca found she was grinning like she'd seen high art. "It moved!" "That's what it does." Savine winced as she shifted on the bench. "That, and the moment I piss, I need to piss again." "Sorry I was a sour host last night," said Ricca. That came out a little sour itself. Her pride had been hard fought for, and she didn't like swallowing it, even if her father had always said, "Pride buys nothing." "In Ulfrith, we're used to getting pushed from both sides. Being pushed brings out the worst in me." "Sorry I was a sour guest," said Savine. "I'm used to fixing on what I want, then treading on whoever I must to get there. Where I come from, nice wins no prizes." Ricca slowly nodded. "Honestly, it's much the same here." "I should have told you how sorry I am about your father. Leo has spoken of him so often, I almost feel I knew him. He was distraught when the news came." "Aye." And Ricca frowned towards her father's grave, half hidden by the overgrown bushes. She was making even less progress on the gardening than he had. "He's always had a big heart, Leo." Savine leaned close to murmur, "He could use his heart less, I sometimes think, and his head more." "Why would he need his head when he's got you? I mean, he might come up with an idea you don't like."
"Fair point."
"And your father? What'll he feel about what you're planning?" My father. Sabine's face turned stony. You suppose he has feelings? He always told me that to change the world, you must first burn it down. He'd get on with my friend Isern, I reckon. She always says you must make of your heart a stone. Sound advice. I very much admire what you have achieved here, you know. It cannot be easy for a woman to take charge. Someone had to. The old men were making quite the fuck-up. Honestly, it is much the same in England. You should get a couple of the most troublesome ones to kill each other, said Ricker. You wouldn't believe how thinning the pack brings the other old dogs into line. You haven't killed each other, then? Leo had stepped out into the sun, a worried look on his face. There was no disguise in him at all. He couldn't have hidden a tree in a forest. His wife was craftier, far, far craftier. We're better friends than ever, she said, with a smile could have sweetened seawater. Ricker did her best to match it, wondering whether Savine had friends or just people that were useful to her. Then she wondered if she was any better herself. Then she wondered whether it even mattered. Long as everyone made sure they stayed useful, of course. I had a vision in the night, she said, throwing up her hands, then slapping them down on her thighs. I asked for a vision, and I got one. Have to tell you, that's not usually how it works. It started off with me climbing a hill of bones. That doesn't sound great, said Leo. That was my thought, dusty under the fingernails. But when I got to the top, the sun rose over green uplands, and there was a lion, and it wore a crown. Leo frowned at Savine. I don't want the crown. A new closed council and an honest government, and I'll be satisfied. Of course, said Ricker. But it's a promise in sign, and when signs are sent, you've got to attend. What's the point of the long eye if you're not going to listen? She thought about that. Or look. Anyway, my point is, I'm with you. The men of Ufrith will be with you. Just make sure you put us on the other wing from the Great Wolf, eh? Wouldn't want to kill that fucker at a bad time. Savine's smile held just a trace of suspicion. You don't want anything? Just a share in your bright future. Ricker watched a pair of little white butterflies chase each other upwards in a spiral. You two are going somewhere. Not sure where, but I'm keen to find out. You helped us. Ricker pulled Leo down onto the bench beside her, one arm about his shoulders and one about Savine's. You risked your life for us. You saved us, Leo, and my father always paid his debts. I mean to pay mine. I knew you wouldn't let me down. Leo looked her right in the eye, the one that couldn't see, but still. I can't tell you what it means to know I've still got your friendship. There was the Leo she knew, part winning honesty, part naive recklessness. Well, you know me. She had to swallow the slightest lump in her throat. I'm all about the friendship. They packed to leave soon after, which was quite the operation, as Savine needed 6 big boxes with brass corners just to get out the door. The dead knew what she had in 'em. Secrets and lies, maybe. Ricker gave her a hug, which was like hugging cut glass. Then she gave Leo a hug, which felt very strange. She held him tight and smelled that smell he still had, and remembered how she used to feel, snuggling into the warmth of blankets with his arms around her. Safe. She never felt safe anymore, and it came to her that if things had been a bit different, maybe she'd be the one carrying his child. Most of her knew they'd never been well matched, but there was a piece of her that had loved him once, and that piece ached at the loss of him, and the woman she'd been with him, and the life she might have had with him so much that tears welled up unexpected in her blind eye, and she had to make out something had blown into it. "Watch yourself," she whispered in his ear, then slapped his arse as he was mounting up, and was pleased to see he still blushed easily. Isern had come back that morning and stood slowly chewing, frowning after Leo and Savine and their men and their wagons as they clattered out of town. "Doesn't bother you she stole your man, eh?"
"Stole him?"
Ricker scornfully tossed her head. "I flung him aside and she stooped to catch him."
"Course,"
hummed Isern, dragging that one word out into a whole story, then folding her arms tight.
"I trust that woman less than the weather. She is the fanciest thing I ever saw."
"You just wish you were that fancy." Isern spat through the hole in her teeth and pushed her chin in the air.
"I'll confess that hat of hers would look most fine upon me. But she smells too good, d'ye see? Not like a person, like a cake, like the best cake you ever tasted."
"We're siding with her, not eating her, unless you've got some plans I don't know about.
We're siding with her husband, and if he is a lion, she is a golden serpent twisted all about him. If she told him down was up, he'd laugh at his mistake and stand on his head."
"Probably. He's never been the sharpest.
And she's cunning and ruthless and ambitious as the plague."
Ricker shrugged and gave that sigh that made her lips flap.
"But stupid friends won't take you far, will they?"
Isern thought about that and opened her mouth.
"Don't say it,"
snapped Ricker, and she slowly closed it again.
"Bring Hardbread on up here. Tell him we've got to gather the warriors. Every named man or carl, every thrall can hold a spear. And spears for him to hold, too."
"And shields?"
"Aye, be nice if some of them came back."
Leo turned in his saddle to smile and wave, and Ricker went up on tiptoe to smile and wave back. Looked like there were some men coming the other way, at least a dozen, sun glinting on their gear and on the metal eye of the one in the lead.
"Here's Shivers."
"That, or it's some other metal-eyed bastard. Who's that with him?"
Ricker shaded her good eye with her hand. He was very tall, taller than Shivers even, but with a stoop, elbows stuck out and chin stuck forward, white blonde hair sprouting in tufts.
"Unless I'm much mistook, I believe that's the nail."
"I believe you're right."
"One eye, maybe."
Ricker tapped her face and gave a wink.
"But it's a sharp one."
"He looks angry as ever."
"Well, his da's still killed," said Isern, "so I'm guessing he will be."
"Good."
Ricker gave that fine red cloth a tweak about her shoulders and set off up the road to greet him.
"An angry man is a useful man."
He was taller than ever when you got close, not just his beard and his brows pale, but even his eyelashes. He'd a thoughtful look, but there was something in that easy slouch made Ricker think he might explode in violence any moment. She'd seen it before, after all, when he was fighting with the other side at the Battle of Red Hill. He'd seemed a terror then, blood-dotted face twisted with fury and laughter at once. But Ricker didn't scare so easily these days. Shivers jerked a thumb sideways.
"This is...
I know who this is."
Ricker took the nail's calloused hand. By the dead, it was a size. Hers weren't small, but they looked like a child's hands holding it.
"No less a man than the nail, famed champion of the West Valleys and son of the great Gregan Hollowhead."
"A sweeter introduction than I'd have dared give myself," he said.
"Oh, don't be coy."
Ricker patted his scarred knuckles and let his hand drop.
"I saw you in the battle at Red Hill. You're a bad enemy to have."
"Can't think of higher praise. Saw you in the battle too, and at the duel after. Before all this, though."
And he waved towards the left side of his face, his pale eyes still on her, taking it all in.
"Better to get looks for the wrong reason than draw no looks at all."
She turned the tattoos towards him, a little challenge. A habit she was getting when folk stared.
"And I haven't shit myself once since it was done, which is a bonus."
"Saves on the laundry, I expect."
"I thought to myself, if you're going to be hideous, why stop halfway?"
"Why did you think that?"
His pale brows drew in a little.
"All I see are power and wisdom. Ask me, there's naught more beautiful."
Ricker blinked.
She liked to think she was canny enough these days that flattery didn't shift her far, but she had to admit that one found the mark.
Isern leaned towards her, one hand shielding her mouth.
I'm thinking he might be quite the find.
I'm thinking the same, muttered Ricker, tidying a bit of hair behind her ear that the salt breeze had whipped free.
What brings you down here, Nail?
Vengeance.
Ricker held her hands up.
What have I done now?
Ain't you a jester, said the Nail, giving a little snort. Stour Nightfall killed my father. Hung him in a cage.
She heard his knuckles click as he clenched those outsized fists.
Put his head above his gates.
The fury coming off him made her dizzy, like a spark might jump between them and send her up in flames.
I heard tell you'd let it go, she murmured.
That's what I told Black Calder. I love to fight, but I hate to lose, and the odds are long against me.
So you haven't let it go?
I have not.
And you've come to Ufrith looking for my help?
I heard you're a bad enemy to have. I know Stour fears you. Thought maybe with my sword and your eye, the odds would be shorter. Ufrith and the West Valleys together. That'd be a thing no one could dismiss.
She looked thoughtfully up at him, quite a long way up since she was standing downhill.
My Dar told me vengeance was an empty chest you have to go bent under the weight of. He told me to let it go.
Your Dar was a tough man, and a crafty man, and a man to be admired.
No doubt,
said Shivers quietly.
But you don't agree?
I do not, said the Nail. I'll have Stour's head or die trying. I saw you and him swap barbs before the duel. Thought you might feel the same.
Oh, I feel just the same, she snarled, showing him a glimpse of the fury she kept burning. My father swore to see Black Calder dead, and I swore to see Stour Nightfall dead, and I mean to keep both of our words. How's that?
It brought a little smile from him, a little brightening of his eye.
But I've folk to look after now.
She softened up, holding her hand out to Ufrith, looking quite pretty in the sunlight as it sloped down to the sea.
Can't be sprinkling vengeance about willy-nilly. You see those union guests of mine just leaving?
The woman wrapped up like a feast day gift. Aye, there was no missing her.
Well, that was the Lady Governor of Angland. I made a deal with her and her husband.
Ricker worked her mouth like there was a bad taste in it.
And it puts me on the same side as the King of the Northmen.
The Nail shook his head.
Ah, that's a shame.
I tend somewhat to agree. No reason you and I can't be good neighbours, though. Why don't you come inside? I'll toss a fresh log on the fire pit and crack a keg of my father's ale.
I'd sooner have vengeance. Were you going to run off to Carlion and grab it before sundown?
Asked Shivers. My Da used to say only the dead can't spare time for a cup, said Ricker. Let's drink and talk about the future. What might happen? What I've seen will happen. Ufrith and the West Valleys together, after all, that'd be a thing no one could dismiss.
Ever so slowly, the Nail thoughtfully raised his pale brows.
It won't last forever, then, your deal with Nightfall.
Ricker set a gentle hand on his shoulder and steered him towards the door of her father's hall.
Nothing lasts forever,